Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, yes, good afternoon. It is Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. And my name is Phil DeLica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. I am so excited because I am currently in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's so funny because as I was traveling yesterday to Atlanta, Georgia, when my flight flew in, I met someone and then I realized I am truly in the South. South Florida, Florida is not the South. When you step into Georgia, especially Atlanta, that's when you know you're really in a southern state. So I am excited because this weekend there's a lot going on. But first of all, I am at the Cindy Trim End Your Year Strong 2015 conference, and we're having a great, great time. She is definitely a woman of God. She definitely, I don't even know what to say, is a powerhouse. We've been here since, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. I've been at the conference since 7 this morning, and it is still going strong. We're taking a break, so I said this is an opportunity to go ahead and do this show. As I continue to be faithful, so I'm just really excited because really what I want to share is the experience of when the Spirit speaks. And I generally do not have a show that's religious or based spiritually, but to be in this atmosphere, it would be a disservice and a dishonor if I did not really have this conversation about life, and not just in the physical but in the spiritual. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I just want to say that there's a lot going on in this world besides what we hear in the news, besides the current events. And as a follower of Christ, as someone who's grown up in the church, been in church all my life, been this seminary for 2.5 years, I really believe, especially before this year is over, to have this kind of conversation or dialogue on the show. So I somewhat apologize for anyone who is not a believer or who's not a Christian or not a person of faith. I do apologize for today's show. But then again, I also challenge you, if you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, I challenge you to listen to the show, and hopefully it can give you some insight truly on what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means when people call themselves Christian, but most of all what it means to have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for those who are Christian or are followers, I also challenge you during this show today to really ask yourself, how are you going to improve in your area, improving the relationship you have with God, with His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in 2016? And as the conference that Cindy Trim is having is called End Your Year Strong 2015, it's truly insightful and understanding to realize that in order, you know, we spend so much time in the earth possession to go to school, we educate ourselves. So if you want to become a doctor, you get your 4-year degree, you go to medical school, you do your residency, and then, you know, if you want to specialize, then you do that as well. If you want to be an attorney, you have to get a bachelor's, a 4-year program, then you do your JD program, which is 3 years. If you want to be a teacher, you go to school for 4 years, you get your teacher certification. If you want to be a nurse, you go to undergraduate, you get your BSN. So it's all these different things. When we think about an occupation, when we think about a vocation or a career, we know how to invest in ourselves. We know there's a process in growing. There's a process in receiving information. But my question is, why do we not have that same mindset when it comes to our spiritual life? Why do we not have the same desire? Why do we not have the same conviction to invest in our spiritual life? And for me, I see it as I'm investing in my spiritual life, being in this atmosphere. Before I came on the show, I was having lunch with 4 other women who are all here at the event, and it's really insightful to understand that even though I grew up in church all my life, my background from the spiritual side is that my mom's side is Catholic, so when my mom's side of the family came into town or if I was at my mom's side of the family's household for the weekend, we would go to Mass. My dad's side is Episcopal or Anglican Church of England, if you want to go back to the true understanding of that. And, of course, that was the real tradition of the religion in the household. So, of course, they're similar but yet different. Catholics, they believe in idol worshiping. They believe in Hail Mary. They believe in the Pope. They believe in confessing to someone. The Anglican Church or the Episcopals, they believe somewhat as a Catholic, so we don't have idols. They don't worship idols. They don't have someone you confess to. They don't have a pope. They have bishops. They don't believe in Hail Mary. But interestingly, even though that was my family's history, growing up, I've always had friends who are Baptists. And this is not to scare anyone in any particular denomination. Truth be told, I consider myself non-denominational, even though I go to a Southern Baptist church. And that's where God placed me, so that's where I be as far as connecting with a denomination. But when I was growing up, I was very reserved in my spiritual life. I did not really believe in the Holy Spirit, or I did not believe speaking in tongues or catching the Holy Ghost and falling out, the whole charismatic Pentecostal side. But it's interestingly, you know, God will reveal what he wants you to see in due time and due season. So growing up, I've had friends who were Baptists, and so I would always go to church with them because since the time I was a little kid, I knew about God. I had a relationship with him, but there was a hunger and a desire that I could not really identify with. I thought I would get it through church. I thought I'd get it through different leaders in the church to kind of give me this guidance and understanding of how to quench this burning, deep desire of getting to know God more. So since both sides of my family are very religious, on my dad's side, we have Episcopal priests, we have Episcopal nuns, we have deacons and layman people that serve the church. And then on my mom's side, we have Catholic priests, Catholic nuns, we have Catholic layman people who work in the church and serve the church. And my mom's eldest brother, yes, I believe her eldest brother was the first Catholic priest to be ordained from their home background or from their home country. So for him to come to America, he was the first one ordained as a Catholic priest from that diaspora. And so I was always surrounded, and my godmother, one of my godmothers is a Catholic nun. So I've always had that religious influence in my life. And so I knew about God. I had a relationship with him, but I wanted to understand what was this burning desire, what was this hunger in me to find out more about him. So as my friends were Baptists, I would go to church with them. And as I would go to church with my friends that were mostly Baptists, I also had friends who were more on the Pentecostal charismatic side. I would go to church with them. And then growing up, truth be told, in ignorance, I thought all that was of the devil when I would see people doing all these charismatic Pentecostal behaviors. And then I connected with someone who was in a church, but mostly, really, it was like a cult. As far as, not in a bad way, but they were very controlling. You could only associate with people in that particular church. You could only connect with people in that particular church. They were very, it was very structured and very rigid, restricted church. So when I realized over time that this it was not a place that I should be in as far as someone having that much control and telling me if only people who go to their church or believe in what they believe will go to heaven and everyone else will go to hell. I don't believe that. But after I left that experience, I was on this desire and I was reading the Bible. And so in middle school, you know, the joke was if you wanted people to say about Jesus, Baylor was the one. Because when I was in middle school, I remember one time I was reading through the Bible and I read 2 Timothy when it talked about women should be modest, they shouldn't have their hair braided, they shouldn't wear jewelry. So, of course, me wanting to really understand who God was, I took that verse literally. So at that point in my season of my life, I would wear long skirts, long sleeves, tops. I wouldn't really show much skin. I wouldn't wear jewelry. I didn't allow my hair to get braided. I really didn't like braids at that time. So I didn't get my hair braided. And I would walk around with my books in one hand and my Bible in the other. And then over time, I think I was one of like those Jesus freaks, but took it to the 90s. As far as I wasn't really condemning people, but I was so zealous in serving God and sharing, you know, the gospel with others that it wasn't really out of love. It wasn't gentle. As God, as the Holy Spirit, as Jesus Christ, they're gentle. When they're trying to have a relationship with you, it's not a forceful. We have free will. So God's not going to force you to have a relationship with him. Jesus Christ is not going to force himself on you. And the Holy Spirit's not going to force his invocation or his presence upon you. It's one of those things you have to invite it in. You have to kind of, just like you court someone, you have to be in that intimate relationship with someone. So when over time God was telling me, you know, I had to really restructure how I was presenting the gospel, how I was living as a Christian. So in fast-forwarding over the years, I've always been in church all my life, always been active in ministry in some way, shape, or form. And then I went to seminary in 2008 in Columbia, South Carolina, this school that was mainly focused on mission work. So a lot of missionaries from other, around the country would come to this school to mostly learn about the gospel and how to serve, but really it was geared towards missions as it was a school that had a lot of missionary connections. And while I was there, I had an interesting experience, not a good one. Ended on a bad note, and that's why I didn't finish my double master's in pastoral counseling and theological studies. But as I was there, the Holy Spirit continued to overwhelm me with His presence. So I would be in chapel, and there's a very conservative evangelical seminary. And, you know, there was a point in times when the Holy Spirit would charismatically come upon me, Pentecostally or whatever. They thought I was of the devil, that I was demon-possessed and all these different things. But what it showed me was all the long that I was thinking that this was of the devil growing up, because I wasn't familiar with that, because in my upbringing in the church area, it was very reserved, very conservative. And so as I was in seminary and I had this experience, it was really God showing me a different perspective of who He was. And, you know, I think that's why it's so important to understand that God is a God we cannot understand. He's indescribable. He is multidimensional beyond what we can ever comprehend. And the reason why I'm sharing all this is to fast forward to where I am today and understanding that life has a journey, and we each have to have our own journey in understanding how to have a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. You know, for me, even though my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, was a strong praying woman, I met this lady. I've never seen a strength of a woman like this woman. And then my uncle, who was a Catholic priest, was a very pivotal spiritual leader in my life until he passed away in 2009. And so as I had my own experience and God took me along this journey of life, it's one of those things you'll hear people say, oh, I'm living on my grandma's prayers, because usually people who were brought up in the church, they had a grandma who was a praying grandma, or they had a woman that was like a mother figure in their church that was praying for them. They were the women that had the power to pray. I mean, they could pray heaven on down and open up the windows of heaven, and then they can pray that fire would take over hell, because they had so much power in their ability to pray. And so as I was going on my own journey of life is that when I realized that I had to have my own story in knowing who God was and understanding the power of prayer and understanding, you know, I couldn't live any longer on the testimony of my grandmother, the testimony of my uncle. I had to live on the testimony of my own testimony. And it is something, as I was sitting and having lunch with these women, that we were talking about, you know, the Holy Spirit and how being obedient we were able to connect. Now we're talking about putting a group together in order to edify each other, talking about the battlefield of the mind, written by Joyce Meyer, and talking about how can we walk in a life fully of Christ and not allow the enemy, the devil, whatever you call dark spirit, dark spirit have an effect on us. And so when we talk about when the Spirit speaks, it's really something to understand. It's just the Holy Spirit is like a human being. You know, there's the Trinity, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. And some people may find it confusing how three personalities can be in one person. The best way I can explain it is that God is the Father. He's the Spirit. I believe He's unisex, but for purposes of this short radio show, that He's a man or a male figure. And Jesus Christ is the human version of God. So when we talk about Virgin Mary and how she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, she didn't have sexual relations with her fiancé, Joseph. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, or by the Spirit of God, since the Holy Spirit wasn't really, the Holy Spirit was there, but its entrance into the world was at a later time. So the Holy Spirit impregnated the Virgin Mary, and the Virgin Mary had Jesus Christ. So that's why they say He's the Son of Man and Son of God. He's the Son of Man because He was born through a woman, a human being, but He's the Son of God because it was the Holy Spirit that impregnated the Virgin Mary. It wasn't her having relations with her husband to give her the baby. And so the Holy Spirit is an example, or is the present reflection of who Jesus is, because when Jesus died, he said, stay here and I will send you my comforter. I will send you a counselor. And that counselor is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a, how can I describe it? The Holy Spirit is a person that reminds you of God's word. It is someone that counsels you when you need to be counseled. It's someone that comforts you when you need to be comforted. It's someone that comes alongside you and to help you to walk through and orchestrate through the maneuvers of life. And so a lot of people may not really believe that the Holy Spirit still exists, or the speaking in tongues and casting out demons and all the things that the biblical miracles and testimonies have. But I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is not dead, that the spirit of tongues and speaking in tongues and casting out demons and all these miracles are not dead. They did not cease. And so the challenge, I think, today, and that sometimes we're so consumed with the world as far as the current events that are taking place. We're so consumed with our own lives. We're so consumed in finding a human being to be our knight and saving armor, whether it's a president, whether it's a global leader, whether it's a person in our lives, but realizing that it's God who gave his only begotten son who died on the cross for our sins. And in John 3:16 it says, that's what God did. He loved us that much that he gave his only son who died on the cross for our sins. So all the things that we would do in the world, good, all the bad things we would do in the world will be forgiven. But yet we have to ask for that forgiveness. We have to receive that forgiveness in order for it to be forgiven. It's a gift. And the Holy Spirit is also a gift. And it's one of those things that people who are in the secular, in the Christian world will say, well, how come we don't see the same things that are happening in the Bible? And I believe the reason why we don't see the same things that the Holy Spirit is doing in the Bible is because we don't have that much faith as the people in the Bible did. Because when we think of the woman with the issue of blood, when we think of all the miracles that happened in the Bible, it was always connected to their faith. How much do you believe? How much faith do you have? Just like if you were to sit on a chair, if you see a chair and you sit on the chair, you believe that chair is going to be able to hold you up because it has four legs, or that it's sturdy enough to hold your weight no matter how heavy you are. We believe that the chair is there. Why is that? Why is it that we believe that the chair is able to hold us? Because we've had that experience before. Why are we able to believe that the chair can hold us? Is because it has the structures of the four legs to hold the structure, to provide an item that can hold our weight. And you can see it. But the challenge is when we think about the spirit realm, when we think about the Holy Spirit, it's something you can't really physically see per se. You can see the manifestations of it, but you don't actually see the Holy Spirit. And so I think sometimes when people talk about the Holy Spirit and people talk about does it exist, is this true, and then people who are not in the Christian world may think, you know, what is this all about? And so my challenge to them is, when you seek to understand, then you will get understanding. And that goes to say, if you really want to understand God, if you really want to understand the Holy Spirit, if you really want to understand the spiritual realm, just as I shared earlier, we go through the educational system to receive these certain degrees and certain career paths and vocations and professions. But when it comes to a spiritual world, I think especially in America, we kind of don't believe or think that the spiritual world is important. And we have to remember in the Word, in John 1:1, it said that God was spirit first, and the spirit became flesh. And so it's the same thing. I believe that we're spiritual beings. I believe that we are, before we became in our human forms, before our parents before we were conceived, was that we were spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings that God had given us a body through a human being, a body for us to hold this spiritual being. And so sometimes I think there are spiritual actions taking place that people don't realize because they haven't connected with that spiritual world or the understanding of the spiritual world. And so my challenge and my question is, why is it so? Why is it, especially for Christians, I want to direct this question to Christians. Why is it so challenging for us as Christians when we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, we call ourselves having a relationship with him, but yet how are we not able to manifest those beliefs? How are we not able to actually live out what we hear every Sunday or how many times you go to church or whatever you listen to? How come we are not living it out as much as we say we speak it? And I think that the disconnect is, as someone was sharing during lunch, is that your mind is a powerful thing. And that's what the enemy or the devil attacks us the most. If you don't have control of your mind, your thoughts, just as the Bible says, capture every thought. It says renew your mind daily. You know, so it's something to realize that the mind is powerful. But if you have a thought in your mind that you have not held captive and it's not a good thought, then that thought eventually is going to be a feeling, and the feeling is the heart. And then from the feeling is going to be a behavior. And from the behavior, it's going to be an action and a habit. So it's one of those things that we have to understand. If you truly want to hear the Holy Spirit, you truly want to have a connection with God, you truly want to understand who Jesus Christ is, you truly want to live in the spiritual world and be victorious in living in the spiritual world, you have to be able to listen. You know, when you read your Bible, or when you have your private moments with God, or when you have your devotional moments, the question I'm asking is it tradition? Is it routine? Or is it really a quest to build this relationship? You know, as we talk about, you know, people dating or courtship, it's the same thing with building a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's an intimate relationship. You have to spend time. You have to cultivate that time. You have to take steps in order to reach that level. And people ask me as a young person, they said, you know, you really have a gift of prayer. You really have this gift and that gift of prophecy and gift of this and gift of that. And they ask me, how did I receive those gifts? And, you know, two things I would say, actually, one, it was given to me as a gift from God. Two, but also even though it's a gift from God, just as we're about to celebrate Christmas, and Christmas is supposed to be a symbol of when Jesus Christ was born, even though Jesus Christ was not born in December, but that's another discussion, is that if you have a gift under the Christmas tree and you don't open up that gift, you never know what's inside. And it's the same thing with having a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't spend time to understand what this relationship is about and you don't open your Bible, which is a gift of God's word to us, then how are you able to understand that gift? And that's the same thing as building a relationship with him. So when we talk about what, are you listening when the Holy Spirit speaks? The Holy Spirit speaks all the time. And I think the first step is one, identifying that we are sinful people, that we are not, we're sinful people. We live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world. And so when we understand that, and then we understand the second thing is you have to build that relationship. So opening your Bible, having devotional time, asking God to show you who he is, what he's about, who is he to you, how does he affect you, what kind of relationship you have with him. Then over time, you will mature. Just as a child, when an infant is born, it learns how to hold its head. When it learns how to hold its head, then it learns how to turn. When it learns how to turn, it learns how to crawl. When it learns how to crawl, it learns how to walk. And when it learns how to walk, it learns how to run. And that's the same analogy I would give in building a relationship with God and having this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, is understanding that it's just as a baby has to go through developmental stages, so do Christians. And, you know, for me, it's not anything to boast of. It's life experiences that also have given me this insight. You know, I have to go through a lot of hardships in my life to help me to understand that in order for me to survive the hardships, in order for me to have first, you know, God loving me enough to help me to allow me to live and survive, but also from my end, it was something to say that I had invested that time with him. There was times in my life that's all I had in my life. I had no friends. I had no family. I was in a deep, dark moment in my life, and it was only God that I could call upon. That was the only relationship I knew that I could trust. That was the only relationship I knew that would not allow me to fail. And that was the only relationship I knew that had the best interest for me. because there have been many people who have come in and out of my life that, you know, they were there for me or I could trust them, all these different things, but that was not truly the case. And so when I realized that in that season of my life, in the darkest moments, that it was only God that was on my side, then I was able to understand who he was and how he was. And as I invested that time, as I had a deep relationship with him, then I was able to mature in my gifts that I have. So, you know, when people see other people with great gifts and great talents, never be jealous of them because you don't know what they had to experience in life in order to reach that level. Never judge them either because you don't know why God allows certain things to happen in their life. Because I believe, you know, in the Bible it says, all things work for the good of those that love the Lord, call on his riches and glory in heaven. So you should never judge somebody. You should never be prejudiced either, because as all of us are children of God, whether no matter who you are, all of us come from God no matter who you are, and all of us have a void in our lives to be connected with him no matter who you are. And so when we talk about understanding who the Holy Spirit is and how do we listen to the Holy Spirit, it's really building that relationship with him. It's truly understanding that God is that it's having that relationship with God that will allow us to realize that there's more to life than what we see. And if we truly take that example and understand that just as we take time to go to school, we take time to invest in relationships, intimate relationships and regular relationships, we also should take time to invest in our relationship with Christ. We should take time to invest in understanding that there is a spiritual world. And in that spiritual world, we have to be able to decipher what is happening in the spiritual world. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter, a counselor to help us to go through that journey of life. And I couldn't have been where, I can't be where I am today without acknowledging first God, then the Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit, because there's many times that I should have made a left turn and I made a right turn. Or there's many times that if I would have made that left turn instead of listening to the Holy Spirit making the right turn, I would not be where I am today. I would not, I'd probably be in very different situations or not even be alive. And so for me, when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's truly a profound thing. And he could speak to anybody. It doesn't have to be a Christian. You know, you just never know who and how God will use people in the daily routines and acts of our life. For instance, this morning, I was on the MARTA train coming to the location for the conference. And as soon as I got on the train, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, one. Then it was like 6 o'clock in the morning when I got on the MARTA train. And as soon as I walked in, I was not in the happiest mood because, one, it was cold. I love the cold weather, but I was a little upset, a little shaken up because it was cold. And I'm from South Florida, and it's hot there, and so I wasn't expecting it to be so cold. But as soon as I got on the train, there was a gentleman, an older gentleman, sitting next to the door. And he was on his phone. And as soon as I walked by, he took a double take. And when I noticed that, I was like, okay, that was weird. And then I sat adjacent to him because that was the closest seat available. And so I sat adjacent to him. And when I sat adjacent to him, he came over and started talking to me. And first of all, I'm a friendly person already, but this was just extra odd at 6 o'clock in the morning to be in Atlanta in an unfamiliar territory and this complete stranger. And he said the reason why he took a double take is because he knew I was a child of God. And he said he knew I was a child of God because of the light that was on me, the presence that I had. As soon as I walked on the train, he felt something. And that was powerful. And that's why I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit, that when you are a child of God, you have a presence about you. You have an aura, something about you. I remember in my darkest moments of my life when I was closing myself from people, strangers would walk up to me when they saw me and said, there's something different about you. And I didn't really understand. And then there was one time this Christian lady said, you must be a child of God because there's a light that shines on you as I look at you. And the interesting thing that, back to the gentleman that I've met on the MARTA train, you know, talking about how you don't know how the Holy Spirit speaks, because what he said to me was so profound. And as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm actually still processing this. He said, a king Okay, now I forgot what he said. He said a king can only be a queen. I'm going to break down what he said because I can't remember exactly what he said. Well, mine just had a brain seizure there. What he said was that each of us has a royalty. Each of us have a gift. But you truly cannot activate that gift until you've connected with the king. And the king of kings, the lord of lords, that is Jesus Christ. And so for me, as I generally do not share my faith on the show and generally don't have these type of conversations, but it was being in this atmosphere, I couldn't deny today using this opportunity to do so. And the challenge that I want to give to the Christians is how much are you listening to the Holy Spirit? How much are you listening to the people that you interact with on a daily basis? Never shun someone away who may be speaking to you, because you never know, that could be an angel in the sky. That could be a message from God that God wants to share with you, but you weren't willing to receive it. Then for those who are not Christians or don't have faith in something, I want to challenge you to say, imagine the times that people have said something to you and it brought a smile to your face. Or imagine the times that people have said something to you or done something for you, they didn't even know you, but it brought some kind of good feeling in you. And so for me, I take that as an example, as that's the Holy Spirit walking with you along the journey of life to help you understand that you're not alone. No matter what you're going through in life, you're not alone. There's always someone there with you. There's always someone there who wants to encourage you and to let you know that God loves you, that God gave his only begotten son who died on the cross just for you. Now the opportunity for you is to receive that gift and invite him into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior and say, yes, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I know he's the Son of God. And I believe that he has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit to remind me of his presence, to remind me of his word, to remind me of the things that I need to be reminded of. And so I'm in awe as I've received so much confirmation at this conference. I've received so much insight. I've received so much rhema word, and a rhema word means a word that has power, a word of presence, a gift from God to confirm and edify something in you. So I say this weekend, as we reflect, take the time to understand when the Holy Spirit speaks, are you listening? To realize that every step that you take in life is either towards your destiny or away from your destiny. But knowing that you have to take a step, but choose the right step. And to me, that right step was giving my life to God as a young child, because there's many things that I had to encounter as a child that I would not say I could have overcame if I didn't have a personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, if I didn't understand that he was the Son of God. And so I would like to close this time in prayer to say that I encourage you all to realize that there's more to you than life, that there is a higher being there. There is a spiritual being that has orchestrated your whole life, that loves you enough to let you know that he loves you and he cares for you. So as we close in prayer, I just hope that this show has been encouraging or edifying or has given some insight on what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I know it kind of may be different from what I normally share on this platform, but I just felt so compelled because I'm just, if words could describe or if I could really show you all how excited and what is all going in my mind and in my spirit right now, it's just overwhelming. So I do apologize if anything came, then it wasn't clear to you all. But I would just, as I close in a moment of prayer, I ask that God would give you clarity on this message that I shared today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, God, that I usually don't share my faith on this platform, but you knew today would be a day to do so. So I ask you, Heavenly Father, that anyone who is listening, Lord God, that you touch their hearts. I ask, Lord God, if they don't know you, that they realize that they are sinners, that they are need a Savior, and the Savior is Jesus Christ, and to understand that they are not in this world alone, that you have always been with them, that you gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross for their sins. So I pray, Lord, that every heart that does not know you yet, I pray that they have found you and that they trust you and they've given their life to you. so you can continue being with them. You can continue showing them the life that you have prepared for them. For those that do know you, I ask God that they continue to grow in their relationship with you. I pray that they continue to understand who you are. I pray that they continue understanding how to share the good news and message and realize they should be blessing others. Lord, I thank you for the man that was on the MARTA train this morning, Lord God, how he blessed me. And, Father, I just ask, Lord God, that you help us to remember that we should be light on this darkened world. We are the salt of the earth, and that we should have a presence about us wherever we go. And so I just thank you for the opportunity, how you blessed me today, and I pray that you continue to watch over Dr. Cindy Trim as she ministers to people, as she encourages others, as she imparts in the lives of others, and as she just empties herself onto people. And I pray for the conference. I pray for the graduates from her Kingdom School of Ministry that had their graduation this morning, Lord God. I just pray that you continue to raise up people of God that are willing to serve you, and that you will just be with them and help them to know that they're serving you and nothing's in vain. But most of all, they are not doing it alone. And I say this prayer, and I ask God to show yourself, show your love to all the people, and as you use us to show your love to the world. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen. And so I just pray that you all enjoy your weekend. I'm going to get ready to get back into this conference and get more impartation and edification and receive more Rhema words and just really get ready to end out 2015 and get excited for 2016. And a couple of announcements that I have for today is that if you are in South Florida, don't forget to go to the Christmas pageant. They have a show this evening, two shows tomorrow, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., and two shows on Sunday, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. as well. I'm so sad that I'm not going to be in any of those performances this weekend, but I know it'll be a great experience, and I know that it's all about Jesus. So I just pray that you all who are going to the show, and if you want to attend the show, you can go get your tickets at ChristmasTickets.com. They may have some more tickets available for this weekend. And next weekend is going to be the last weekend, so you definitely want to make sure you get in. That is, I call it the Nutcracker of the South. The North, they have the Nutcracker. The South, we have the Fort Lauderdale Christmas pageant. Also, for anyone who wants to become a business coach, who wants to become a life coach or want to start their own business, I have a class starting December 10th. It's an eight-week online training program. Starting December 10th, which is a Thursday, and it's really helping helping individuals in the startup phase who want to get their life coaching business started or to start a business. So if you want to connect with me on that and find out more information about that, you can befriend me on Facebook. My name is Fayola Delica, F-A-Y-O-L-A-D-E-L-I-C-A, and you're going to put facebook.com/ Fayola Delica Business Coach. You will see me in a green dress with polka dots. That will be the page that you want to connect with me on, as well as you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Fayola Delica. That's at my first name, Fayola, last name Delica put together. Also, you can connect with me on LinkedIn, and on LinkedIn you can find me by my name, Fayola Delica. And so I just look forward to connecting with you also. If you would like more information about the upcoming things that I have going on, I'm just really, really excited about this course that's starting December 10th. We are still actually also having my other course, our Authentic Speakers Training Program. That course is still going on. We have about 2 to 3 more weeks left before that course is over. So I'm really, really excited. It's been a great experience in helping people become coaches, become speakers, and now we're going to help people become coaches. So it's really just getting ready for what 2016 will bring. I truly believe if you want to prepare for 2016, you have to start now. Do something today that tomorrow will thank you. Also, when you're thinking about your New Year's resolutions, don't wait till December 31st or January 1st to get those resolutions down and ready to work. Start now. It takes preparation and planning in order to be successful. So if you truly want to be successful in 2016, you need to start that today. Well, I am off. I wish you all the best of luck this weekend. It is beautiful in Atlanta. Oh, I almost said Chicago. I wish I was in Chicago. It is cool outside. I had to put on my boots, so I'm glad to have boots and to have a leather jacket because it is chilly with a scarf. So, 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 so excited. So you all enjoy your weekend. I am excited that I am just getting ready for this weekend. And also, I'm also excited that tomorrow Saturday, I will be at the Emerging African Leaders Conference with Honorable Abiola. I'll be receiving an award and being on her panel. So I'm just really, really excited about the opportunity. So I'm killing two birds with one stone this weekend as I'm attending the Cindy Trim End Your Year Strong Conference. And then tomorrow I'll be at the Emerging African Leaders Conference receiving an award and being on her panel and talking about the work that I've been doing and how she's recognizing the work that I'm doing. And I just want to say it's not about me, but it's really about serving my community and leaving my mark in the world to make this place a better place than when I found it. So you all enjoy your weekend. Take care. Be blessed. Bye-bye.